Had a wonderfully full service this morning. Not sure what I can add, but I'll give it a try. Now, thank you. The choir's a wonderful, Ellen. Great presentation. Everything. One of those really special days today. Some like, excuse me. Some nights when I'm the last one to leave this building, I'll find myself alone in this room and it's dark. I'm usually coming from the parish house over here, going to the RE wing to get to my car on Grove Street so I can head on home. And most times I just kind of pass on through and go on about my business, but every some nights now and then, I'll stop for a moment and I'll take in this room that's become kind of familiar to me over the past couple of decades or more. I don't think all the same thoughts every time through, but taken together, they go something like this. I wonder what it looked like in here, this very same place, when those first gathered congregation of Unitarians in Nashua held their first service in here in June of 1827, some 10 months after they had founded this church up at what is now the Abbott Spaulding House. And then I think about how those services here have evolved and changed over the decades for the Unitarians and then later the Unitarian Universalists who came together. I wonder what kind of sermons they heard. What songs did they sing and listen to? What did they teach their children? What were the issues of their day that stirred them up? You got to remember, this church was founded even before there was an abolitionist movement or a women's suffrage movement. Because our faith tradition is such a dynamic one, the answers to these kinds of questions, I know, have changed over the years. For while this church is an institution that's been in our community now for nearly 185 years, the congregations have changed. Our faith tradition is such a dynamic one that the way the questions I just used over have been answered have changed a good deal because the nature of Unitarian Universalism has changed. If you stay with me in the dark room for just a bit longer, I sometimes also think of the great joys that have been experienced here, weddings, child dedications, and the like. I think of the many lives that have been celebrated in funeral or memorial services. I think about how sometimes when the deaths were especially untimely or tragic ones, some of the pain and the sorrow and the grief that's felt in here, along with the support that the people who are experiencing that are getting. I just have to think that a lot of this basic stuff of humanity kind of accumulated in this room for almost two centuries. Now, I guess before I get too lofty with all this, I should also confess that my thoughts are not always all that lofty. I still recall the one evening I had left something up here on the pulpit or on the bench, and I decided I would come down here to retrieve it. And as I was coming down that side aisle right there, I just banged my knee right on the side of the pew. That moment, I'm glad I was the only one in the building. Given what came out of my mouth immediately thereafter. I guess that's part of the basic stuff of humanity, too. You know, you bang up your knee and you say what you feel like saying. Anyway, the reason such a place as this allows me and others of you to have the thoughts I have just described is because the ongoing congregations that make up the story of this church believe they were part of something greater than themselves. They express that something different, that something greater in different ways at different times, but there was a sense among them that we're all in this together. We have something here that's worth structuring, worth preserving and nurturing and growing, both for ourselves and for the congregations that are going to come after us. And if that sense and that conviction had not prevailed over the past 185 years, then we would not be here this morning enjoying this wonderful service that we've had. You've already heard Ellen talk about the stewardship campaign which we initiated. Ellen, I assume you're still here. Thank you. A wonderful job that you're doing. Thank you so much. So I'm just going to add a few things to what she's already said. I would say that when you fill out your pledge form, put her number on it, it shows the level of your financial support that you can promise us for the upcoming year. I hope you know you're doing more than putting a number on a piece of paper, important and crucial as that number is. For in addition to the number you enter, you're also making a statement, one already alluded to, a statement you hear here every Sunday. You've already heard it today. The mystery is that we are connected. The bond that calls and holds us together may be a mysterious one, but it's quite real nonetheless. It's real enough to be seen clearly on any number of occasions. And when I think back over just the past several months, I can see how that bond has made itself real. It may be mysterious, but we still see it. I think about Bruce Taylor's ordination to UU Ministry back last November. Not just the service itself, wonderful as that was. I also think about the relationship Bruce had and has had with this congregation that eventually brought him to the UU Ministry. As Bruce himself has openly shared, was how this congregation responded to him after he lost his wife to cancer some 10, 12 years ago. That showed him something about the strength and the power of a religious community, to the point that he set out on his own journey to the UU Ministry because he wanted to be a leader of such a community himself. All together, we are a part of that journey. And then I think of this past New Year's Eve and New Year's Day as we ran into one another, right here in this room with a lot of you who were present. Just what a wonderful evening and morning that was. We celebrated Jen and Michelle's wedding. The food, the fun, the music, the general good fellowship were all an expression of what it means to be a joyful congregation. I also know that a number of you, along with me, were strong advocates in this state for same-sex marriage. And it was the passage of that legislation that made our fun night possible as 2010 came in. We found out we could do social justice work and have a great time all at the same time. And I thought the evening was a great statement about who we are and what it means to be a community in which we're all in it together for the greater good. Over these past several months as well, a few of our members have experienced some devastating losses from a couple of very untimely deaths. One very untimely, one horribly tragic. Two cases, there's no need for me to name names. Those of you who were close to the persons involved, you know them already, you're still in touch with them. All I'll say here, all I need to say, is that for me to witness the love and the care and the support that was extended to those in our congregation in the wake of such terrible tragedies made me all the more proud to be your minister. And all those responses came from this instinctual feeling, yeah, we're all in this together. All together now. Beatles had a lot of fun with that song. That funky Yellow Submarine movie. We had a lot of fun with it down here with the kids. Hope they had fun too, as we did it. Jed, thanks for moving us along on that. What does it mean in the light of what I've said so far? Offer a few more thoughts. The place that we have here, both a physical location and a spiritual setting, when what you receive and what you give becomes so intertwined as to be indistinguishable, then you know what the phrase all together now means. When the support and the love that you receive from one another becomes indistinguishable from the support and the love you give, you know what the phrase all together now means. When the sense of commitment you find here to some crucial human values, crucial social principles, become indistinguishable from your own commitment to those values and principles, then you know what all together now means. When the deeper sense of meaning and purpose and depth you receive in your life as a part of this congregation becomes indistinguishable from the ways in which you contribute to the search for meaning and purpose and depth with your fellow congregation members, then you know what all together now means. This is what we strive for here, to be a place where the giving and the receiving all come together and hopefully fills in what might otherwise be a missing piece in each of your lives. Well, I keep referring to the many ways in which we give, all of them wonderful, all of them necessary. We're going to be a healthy religious community. So now I'll briefly move to one of the more tangible forms of giving that we're focusing on today. Yeah, this is a stewardship sermon. Yeah, pledge drive is about money. Like practically every other institution on this planet, be it religious or secular, be it profit or nonprofit, we need a strong and reliable financial base from which to operate. I am just deeply grateful for where we are already on that journey. The details as to how our financial base is made up, and Ellen already pointed this out to you, all that stuff is in that orange envelope packet that you haven't got already. You can pick one up after the service today. I'm going to let you look through those numbers. I ask you to give it your serious attention. But to say that a stewardship campaign is about money as it is begs a larger question. What's the money about? Quite simply, it helps make possible those aspects and more of our congregational life that I've already mentioned. So I would like you to think of your pledge as one of the many ways in which you say all together now. One of the many ways in which you live out that mysterious whatever it is that connects us. Yeah, pledge is about money. Stewardship is about money, among other things. But money is never an end in itself. It's only as good as what it's used for. In our case, it is used to serve a greater and a higher mission beyond what we can individually do for our individual selves. It helps keep us in this facility, which is more than a physical location, it's a spiritual home, a place to worship, to hear our choir, to provide our children and young people with a religious education, to enjoy one another's company. It's a place to live out our Unitarian Universalist principle that calls for encouragement, that calls for acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. It offers a place from which, and a place to be inspired and directed as we do our social justice work. Our building is also one of the many forms of outreach for the various community groups that meet here who might not otherwise have a place together. Your pledge helps us keep a staff in place that works with so many of you committed volunteers in making us a strong and vibrant congregation as we all strive to make a positive difference in the lives of our members and friends, as we also strive to make a positive difference in our larger world. So the financial part of our overall congregational life is really not something, it should not be something that we have to wall off from all the other aspects of who we are. We don't dwell on it because we've got a lot of other things to talk about too. But it should not be something that we wall off. It should be an integral part of who we are. We're taken all together in their totality. Our pledges and our gifts can be seen as a positive statement about how much we value this congregation for the many reasons already given. It's also a statement about how committed we are to have this church remain here for future generations, just as those who first came together in this room on that Sunday service in June of 1827 were similarly committed so we could also be here today. So I'll wind down on this note. 1 year ago, we launched our pledge drive against the backdrop of a pretty harsh economic climate. Your board and I will acknowledge, we were a bit nervous about how we might have to deal with some of the difficult financial decisions that we saw in front of us as we created a viable budget. And yeah, we did have to make some challenging choices. But you really helped us out because you responded last year in truly marvelous ways to give us the largest pledge base that we've had in the history of this church, in the history of this congregation. It happened because those who were able to pick up for others who were struggling did so. We really were in it together, and it showed. I know for some of you now, the clouds have probably gotten a little brighter. Your lives may be in a little more secure place than they were a year ago. I know that others of you continue to deal with all those anxieties, the financial uncertainty that financial unknowns bring. Still others of you have your lives in pretty secure places, financially speaking. As is always the case,